giving. This is something the people should do with God, not because they're emotionally pushed by the pastor. But one has to understand one thing. If you want to measure your faith, you have to look at your offerings and compare it with what you have. That's not my idea. This is Jesus' idea. If you remember the woman, the old widow, they put a penny for the offering. Jesus said that she had great faith because everything that she had given. See, it's not the amount that you give. It's the ratio between what you have and what you give that actually measure your faith. Because that's where you see how much you believe and trust God for everything else. Because, you know, we have to realize it or not, if we don't, that our finances are a big part of what we give value to in our lives. And when we worship God with our finances, this demonstrates the faith we have in Him. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just praise you and thank you. We know, Lord, that you are our provider and you take care of all our needs. And Lord, we just give to you, Lord, what you have given to us in the first place. And we acknowledge, Lord, that all good things come from you. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, for being able to give back to you, Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, that your kingdom may be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that we are blessed to be able to worship you and praise you in freedom. Thank you, Lord, that we can be together, Lord, as a family to worship you and to receive and to go to your word. And we ask you, Lord, that you quicken, Lord, our minds and our hearts so that we may be able to receive everything, Lord, that you want us to hear. You want us to appropriate today, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Faith. We have been looking at basic faith principles. And, you know, it's more than 30 years I've been preaching about faith, basically. But each time I get back to it, you discover new things. This is the way the word is. It's always, it's living. It's a living thing. And when something is living, it's not, cannot be static, cannot be always the same. Has to grow and has to develop and has to get deeper and has to get better. Amen?
Amen?
So, I just want to summarize some of the basic building blocks that we have been looking at. Okay, so that we can move on to the new things. I promise that, you know, today we are going to really deal with the issue that moves us into the supernatural. I want to stress that hopefully we can cover the whole topic, maybe not. But that's okay, we're going to start dealing with it. But this is such an important thing because, you know, faith is something that we do, we have, for believing things that are not there yet. The point is, when those things are going to be there, it's an important step for us, an important part for us, because, you know, we don't live forever. And the sooner we get the results, the sooner we can go to something else. You see, faith is not something that you leave there without doing anything. It's supposed to be your servant. That's what the Bible says. And so you had to command it to do the things that you'd be doing. And so you had to always keep it working for you. And essentially, you know, you have to go from one faith project to the next faith project. And just keep pushing that so that it grows, that develops, gets better, and you move in the dimension that God wants you to move. So let's start looking at some of the basic things that we said, and I'm going to just briefly make a list of them. You know, first of all, we said that faith basically is trusting God and His Word. One has to always remember that, because otherwise one's try to seek after faith when instead is we should seek after God and our relationship with God. All right? So the basic for that is the God, the knowing and the realizing and believing that God is faithful to His Word. And so because He's faithful to His Word, okay, then we can base ourselves and base our faith on God's Word. So the third point was the faith comes by hearing the Word. Because if the basis for believing something is the Word, then only when you know the Word and you hear the Word, you are able to apply your faith in the direction, which is simply believing what God said. Okay, so the fourth point, this is really an important one and is essential, is the fact that faith, without faith, is impossible to please God. So really, in your relationship with God, if you don't have faith, you cannot really have a relationship with Him, because that relationship is going to be affected by your lack of faith. You see, the way you connect with Him is through your faith. So, and the second part of that verse, you know, and it is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, if you have faith that there is God, and even the devil knows that there is God, but doesn't do any good to him, because he knows he's not going to get any rewards. But we should know that if we seek Him, He, you know, going to reward us. So there has to be a motivation and a desire for us to seek God and to get closer to Him. Okay. Then there is one of the things about faith is that people wait for some supernatural revelation or supernatural experience to have faith in God. And this is really completely unscriptural. You see, the only thing you need is the Bible. The Bible is the basis. Peter says very clearly that this is the most sure prophecy that we get, and is not the one that we get, you know, in a subjective way when we get a spiritual event happening to us. That event is in front of us, is God speaking to us more sure than all the other experiences that we have. So the Word is enough for us to exercise our faith. Okay? Then, having started with that, then we had to go to the place where we realized that God is love. And because God is love, you see, that's the way He relates to us. That's the way He connects to us. That's the way we can trust in God loving us more than any fathers that we have in this world. His love for us is beyond. You know, God is more love than power. Because the power of God is not as essential as God's love. God is said, you know, doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say that God is power, has power, but says God is love. So really, you know, God relates to us through His love more than through His power. And because His love is toward us, then He's going to exercise His power for us when we need Him. Okay? So that's another thing why He's so faithful. Okay? Now, let's look at a bit of a negative side of the story. Okay? Whatever we think or we say about God is the way God is going to deal with us. If we say that God is a hard taskmaster, that's the way we are going to experience God. When we realize that God is a loving Father and He deals with us, you know, better than any father we may ever had, then He's going to deal us that way. So you see how that automatically creates the situation and the relationship that we have with Him. Okay, as a secondary element of what I'm talking about is really the grumbling and complaining damages our relationship with the Father and really stop God from being able to do things for us. And with that, I think we cover most of the point that we, you know, talked about in the first 2 weeks. Now we're going to move into something new, and it's an exciting aspect of our relationship with God that develop or releases the supernatural power of God for us. And we may realize it or not, but it's a critical component that generally is missing in people that cannot receive things from God and don't see the manifestation. We are talking about here producing God's manifestation of his power for us. You think you're interested in hearing about that?
Yes.
All right. So let's see it in operation rather than theoretically. Let's go back to the Old Testament, because God was working supernaturally even in the Old Testament. Okay. If you remember, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, talks about Judah and the King Jehoshaphat being attacked by three different armies. This was only a small country with not that many people, and there were three kings coming against him. I'm not going to go through the whole reading the whole thing. You can read it yourself. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. I'm just having to, you know, skim through it and take the points out that are important. Okay. What happened is Jehoshaphat, you know, wasn't stupid. He realized, I'm cooked here. I'm just done. I mean, there are three armies that are, you know, big, powerful, and we are just a little country. And so said, we cannot make it in ourselves. So the only way is God. And he sought God, called a fast, called the people to pray, called everybody to seek God for protection. And as they were doing that, young man prophesied. Jaziel was his name. And he said, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of these great multitudes, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow you go against them, for the Lord is with you. You see, this was a prophetic statement that they could have taken or not taken. And they took it. You know, they believed it. And so because they believed it, okay, just read through it because it's going to be ministering to you. But, you know, I'm not going to, I had to talk about too many things to go into the detail. I'm going to get to the conclusion here. Verse 21 says, and when he had consulted the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That's what they did. They didn't go there with arms. They didn't go there with all the equipment. They just went there singing to the Lord. I mean, from a logical point of view, this was suicide. All right? I mean, it's crazy. All right? So, verse 22. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against their enemies, and they slaughtered each other. And as a consequence of that, for 3 days, they went around taking spoils from the enemy. Took 3 days, and they had to leave stuff there because there was too much to take. They simply trusted the Lord. They allowed God to move in and do the work that he promised would do. And they activated supernatural power of God by simply praising him and saying, his mercy endureth forever. I mean, you want to have a ticket to get results? I give it to you already. All right? If you are there trying to work hard, to work your faith so that you are going to get results, you are really not in faith. You are working it out. But when you start praising the Lord, you're going to see that God is going to start moving on your behalf because your attitude is different. You see, you cannot praise the Lord and keep frowning and keep being down. You know, you can see that if you start praising the Lord after 2 or 3 times, you're going to put a smile on your face. And that smile is what God expects from you, because it means that you trust him. Now, I can give you tons of other examples from the Old Testament. I mean, take, for example, when, for the inauguration of the temple. But you remember, I mean, they went there, they were all excited, and in this case was just something joyful, okay? But nevertheless, they went around, they started to sing, and when they started to sing and worship the Lord, the anointing of God came, and the cloud came, and filled the temple, and the priest couldn't even stand up. They just were under the Spirit. God's power manifested again as people were praising. Okay. Do you remember when, they got to Jericho? And Jericho was a fortified city. There was no way that they could take, the walls there were so thick that they couldn't even get close to that. And what was the solution? They didn't even arm themselves. They went around with trumpets and started singing. And they went around the wall 7 times. I mean, insane, huh? And they started singing, and when they sang, the walls collapsed. But you know, it's interesting. Generally, the walls collapse forward. The wall collapsed backward in that case. They fell in because they shouted, praise the Lord. I mean, if the church, I mean, that's a collective power of prayer, of praising. If the church should learn to praise in similar way by, first of all, believing God, trusting God, and second, speaking it out. I mean, not just praise the Lord. You know, the amount of energy you put in, it shows the degree of belief that you have. If you just have the enough energy to say praise the Lord, there is not much power there. You have to really speak it out. This is all Old Testament. You know, that's the way God worked in the Old Testament. Wait a minute. What about Silas and Paul in Philippi? I mean, Acts 16, verse 25 says, and at midnight, I mean, they had been taken to jail. They had been beaten up. Their back were bleeding and they were hurting and they were just, from a physical point of view, must have felt awful. Because, you know, in those days when they beat you up, they beat you up. It's not, you know, now you see, you know, on Facebook, you know, somebody get a couple of kicks and punches, everybody goes crazy. There, when they beat you up, you were bleeding and were dead. And nobody was complaining. Or at least, Paul and Silas weren't complaining. What were they doing? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. That means, you know, they weren't doing it quietly. I mean, the prison was big, and they were there singing and praising God aloud at midnight. What about the curfew? I mean, we don't go to sleep at this time? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains was loosed. Hallelujah. You want to lose your chain? That's the ticket. Are you stuck someplace? Amen. Amen. All right. So, even the keeper, you know, and don't need to go through all the other things. See, let me, these are enough examples. Do you think so? We can find others, but, you know, for now, this is good enough. And let's realize some things. You know, our praises expresses our faith toward God or in God. Okay? Now, there is a sentence that I repeat sometime, and it is an important one, and it's from John G. Lake, that said this: it is a law of human nature that it is easier to move from acting to believing than from believing to acting. Which means that even when you don't feel like it, even when you are not feeling like praising or doing something, or you believe, if you start like you, acting like you believe, you end up believing. I mean, that's my translation. Okay, and maybe it was needed because it's a bit thing. Are you following me? So the idea is, don't you, when you don't feel like praising, that's the time when you really have to praise, because that's the time when you have to kick up your faith and make it work. But not because you are there fighting it, but because you automatically move from I don't have it to I have it. Which is the place where faith is. Okay? Now, we have much more to, there are many more scriptures to strengthen this point. Okay? So there are many more scriptures to encourage you in this direction. But the church, you know, the early church was praising all the time. Today, people are shy about praising. Oh, making too much noise. We don't make enough noise. We should, you see, because when you put it in, you get it out. All right. So, you see, you have to realize that all the breakthrough, all the victory, all the things that your faith receives from God is because God wants it to give it to you. See, you are not pushing God to do something that he didn't want to do. What you are doing is allowing him to do what he wants to do in the first place. See, because what you are going to get from God are God's promises. God promises something that he promised anyway, and he wants to give to you, and he is not trying to find way not to give it to you. He's trying to find way to give it to you, and so anything that you can do to help him, otherwise his hands are tied. We are going to see that. We're going to see in detail how that connects with Jesus' ministry. Okay. Every good gift, James 1:17, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In his own will. See, that's, you're not forcing God's will. You is his own will. You are going to help him to do what he wants to do by creating the situation in which he can do it. By his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may kind of be kind of first fruit of his creatures. So you see, it's his own will for him to achieve and to do the things that we need. But his hands are tied by our attitude and our beliefs. He will not do anything without faith. With faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Let's go back to the basic scripture there. So, let's see how this relates and how that connects with our praises. Okay. If you to go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. If you have the Bible, otherwise you can hear me. It says, therefore, by him, which is Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I mean, this is the basic scripture that connects praising God with Jesus' ministry in more than one way. First of all, it's through him. You know, therefore, by him led us. So you see, it's through him working in us. Because if we are not, don't have him inside, we are not going to be able to praise. You see, we have to be always, you know, the only way to praise God is that you are born again. So it's by him, you see, he should be there motivating you, empowering you, enabling you to, when you don't feel like praising, is because he is not operating in you, or you are blocking him for work inside you. You see, you are not in him when you refuse to praise. Did you hear that? All right. Because at the moment, what you are in is instead unbelief. Okay? In him. Let us continually, you know what continually means? Continually, all the time. I mean, good time or bad time. In good time, anytime. All right? Continually. Okay? All the time. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. So the idea is a sacrifice. You know, today people don't like to think about that, and don't like, that's why they don't like Christianity, because it's based on sacrifice. It's based on shedding of blood. It was shedding of blood from the very beginning. You know, even Abel offered the sacrifice that was acceptable to God because it was according to God's prescription. Cain offered a sacrifice that was not acceptable to God because it was not with the blood. People don't like bloody religion. The thing is, that's the only way that we can get anywhere. Amen. All right. So, but the fact that it's a sacrifice means, you know, that also it costs something. You know, if it doesn't cost you anything, if it's surplus, if it's just you do it and it's all right, or it's not the best. See, the sacrifices had to be the best animals offered, not the one that has some problem. See, the sacrifice involves that you have to give something the best you can. And then when you apply a sacrifice of praise to worshiping him, a sacrifice of praise, praising, that means the best worship you can do, the best praise you can lift to him, is what you have to do. Not just praise the Lord. No, you have to give the best that you can to be a sacrifice. Otherwise, it's not a sacrifice and it's not going to produce anything. Amen? Amen? Let's say, praise the Lord. That's right. Okay. Now we are talking. Yes. Let's see next week. All right. Hey, praise God. Okay. So he's not talking. Okay, let's continue here because just in this verse is so much that it can revolutionize your faith life. Do you realize that? I mean, look at the result that these people got in the Old Testament and New Testament when they start praising the Lord in this way. I mean, don't tell me that Paul and Silas were not sacrificing to God when they were praying. They were hurting on the back and bleeding, and they were there so loud that everybody heard them, and so loud that they shook the foundation of the prison. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that the fruit of our lips, you see, doesn't say, you know, you keep it within yourself. Doesn't say silent praise. It's the fruit of our lips. That means it has to come through your lips. It has to come through, you know, as a good fruit. So the idea is that we have to express that with everything we got, especially with our voice. And we're going to see some more about that. And that says, you know, giving thanks to his name. Now, that translation of that can be made in many different ways. The word there, giving thanks, is actually homologeo, which actually means, you know, saying the same thing. So it's really saying the same thing as his name. That means he's expressing what the name is, what he is, and what he has done. So when we say the same thing as his name, you know, you are saying, you know, our Savior, our everything, thank you. And it's also, you know, the attitude of thanking him and praising him for that. So the idea there is that we, you know, call him into action. Call his name into action. Okay? So, his name. Whose name? Jesus. Jesus' name. He's the Savior. He's the one set us free. He's the one who gives us the victory. Okay? And he's not doing anything now. He's working for us. You know, if you read the book of Hebrews, it's everything about Jesus' ministry today. You see, he's working for us today, but we have to activate him to work for us. You see, it's not automatic. If you are there grumbling about what he has done or what God has done, he's not going to touch you. You know this, remember the scripture, and we just do that for witnessing. But it's not just for witnessing. When Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. And on there's other places, and when I confess before men, I confess you before the angels of God. I mean, the Father and the angels of God, they want to carry out the word. Now, when we praise him and we acknowledge his name and we call upon his name, we activate him actually to do what he wants to do. Because we confess him before men. We speak it out for them. It's not just a question of witnessing. It's a question that we, you know, hold it continuously. Can you say continuously? That's the way we had to do it. Continuously, we had to, you know, there is any blockage. Continuously, we had to continuously call upon his name in the terms of appraising him about the answer that he has provided by the answer that is given in the promises of God. Won't take very long. That's what happened there. I mean, it didn't take 3 years to take down the walls of Jericho 7 times around. Take a little jog. All right. So Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Jesus' intercessory ministry. That's what we are talking about for us. So therefore, chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, the holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling. See, he's not talking about everybody. I mean, this is not a question of putting up a show and doing something. You have to be a part, you have to be connected with him already. All right? Okay. Consider the apostle, the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. You see, he is the high priest. The high priest function was to go before God for the people. Okay, he's the one that was going ahead with us. So that's what he is there. In verse chapter 4, verse 14, seeing them that we have a great high priest who has passed through heavens, Jesus Christ, Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession or profession, what you want. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses or our needs. But in all points was tempted as we are. So he went through the same thing that we're going through. Actually, probably much worse. Because we went through all the problems we have. He took them all. The whole world upon him. You haven't been hit at the post like he was. You haven't been crucified like he was. Okay. Cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted as we are yet without sin. And let us therefore come boldly. Can you say boldly? You see, that's the thing. You see, it doesn't say kindly, gently, you know, trying to be nice. No, we can boldly come before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? You see, the right praises, I mean bold praises, praising boldly, continuously, all the time, no matter where you are. I mean, they'll say, oh, this is one of those nuts. Absolutely. But they're going to say they're dangerous. You see, they were afraid of the believers in the book of Acts because they were bold about their position. And because they were afraid, they joined in. That's what book of Acts says. They should be, oh, this is one of those guys that gets everything. Why? Well, I don't know. We know. He's praising. He's boldly praising. You know, you can boldly go where nobody goes. Amen?
Amen?
Are you getting something today? You see, you can. This is practical. Christianity is not theoretical things. You see, we are talking about not just theology. We are talking about doing. Because, you know, you can know all the theology and do nothing with it, and you are going to be just unsaved as anybody else. But you just do one thing that applies to this, like confess Jesus as your Lord. And the biggest miracle that can ever happen to anybody happens to you as you are transforming the new creation. You know, everything else after that is going downhill. I mean, it's going to for less. Doesn't matter what healing you need. No matter what breakthrough financially you need. Doesn't matter what other need that you have. It's nothing compared to create a new creature from what you were dead before. So, it shouldn't take forever. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, see, the part of actually expressing that is all over the Bible. You know, it's the same thing as, you know, if what I'm saying here is the same as what you got for salvation. When it says in Romans 10:9, you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Well, what are you doing there? He's doing exactly what I'm saying. You're calling him what he is. He's not just, you know, oh, I believe in Lord Jesus. No, you take a position for what he has done and what he is and what is the purpose of everything. You know, and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead. You see, that's exactly what you do. There is no difference. But now, you see, there is a little component more. You know, by praising, you are expressing something already that is positive. And you see, you are not praising him just. You are praising him because you believe you got the answer. You are not praising him because you are waiting for the answer. It's because he promised the answer. You believe that he's going to give the answer. And so you start praising him in advance because you know, it's like, you know, people now order stuff through the internet, you know, and you are there, you know, entering the stuff and, oh, I like this. And you put the order in. You put the order in, you got it. Hasn't arrived yet, but you got it. So you can go and tell, you know, I bought myself a new computer. You haven't done have a new computer, but it's coming. Now with the post office, you know, post office is not faithful. God is faithful. Amen. So you can be rejoicing about it. And when you are praising the Lord, you say, I got it. You know, and you can go and just start rejoicing and start praising. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, praise is the best confession you can make to manifest salvation, healing, victory, anything includes in the Word of God. Now, you can do it personally for the things you're stuck. If you're stuck in something, start praising God for that. I mean, make sure that what you ask lines up with the word based on a promise. I want to actually encourage you to be difficult. Don't make it easy for God to answer that question. I mean, be really difficult on what you want. That is in agreement with the word. Because otherwise what you are doing is making God unable to do everything you want. You see, that's you're limiting the Holy One of Israel. The very moment when you compromise what you want because it's too difficult to ask for that. Are you following me? God is bigger than your problem, and he's bigger to be able to completely do a perfection what you need. So, make it difficult for God. You cannot do that. Okay? But according to your mentality, that may seem difficult. But you know, when you get everything exactly the way you want it, you are going to praise God louder than before. Amen? And this is not being, you know, selfish or materialistic. This is giving glory to God. See, what does it say about the promises of God? The area in a man in Christ Jesus, that means by faith, okay, to the glory of God through us. So you see, when God wants to fulfill his promises because he gets glory out of it. That's the way the glory is. That's why, you know, how can you go and praise God about the things? In the old book of Acts talks about all the Psalms talks about all the great acts that God did to Israel. If he had not done those things, there was nothing to worship and to praise for. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, this is a challenge I want to put to you. You know, if you're stuck in some area, start doing that. Make a list. Make sure that you have exactly what you want. And start praising the Lord. Not just praise the Lord. I mean, every morning, continuously, you praise the Lord. You praise the Lord aloud. You wake up in the morning and you start praising the Lord aloud. You know, Wigglesworth, that's what he did. He was waking up. And for 15 minutes, he would just get up and dance around the room, praising the Lord. I remember last summer, went to visit him once, and he was in 22, 23, 24, and the guy was 80. And he grabbed by the arm, embraced him, and started jumping around and jumped for 15 minutes with summer in his hand, praising the Lord and shouting hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord, by the way. Not many people went there to see him. But that's why Samuel went to places and the other one didn't. Amen. All right. So the other thing I wanted to stress is corporate, from a corporate point of view. If one person can get results, can you imagine a group of people that have the understanding, they respond properly to the word, to God's, and start doing it together in unity. I mean, talking two people could shake the prison foundations. Don't do it too much. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, that's the beginning. This is a practical thing that you can do, okay, to accelerate the manifestation of God's power. Instead of trying to get what God wants to give you, start to praise for what he has given you already. Even if it's not fully manifested or it's not manifested at all. Because that's what's going to bring the manifestation to life. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, let me see, we are a good point to stop. this is too much to try to cover it. But really, it's a question of, you know, praise and gratitude is the same thing. So we try to develop an attitude of gratitude that we have all the time. And there are some things we can understand and can learn and can go to. And, you know, one of the things we can do is to go through the Psalms. And in the Psalms, there is lots of places in which shows you what to praise about and what to worship him about. Amen. I think maybe a good thing now to actually do that. I mean, it's not good to talk about something and not do it. You have to start doing it to get the results. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's start. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. You can stand up if you want. Thank you, Jesus. If you have something to thank him about, just thank him about what you got. We just worship you and praise you, Lord. We just worship you and praise you. Praise you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You know, let me say something. Let me say something. You know, the enemy, the devil, what he wants is for you to do it silently. Because he knows that you are going to be less effective if you do it silently. He knows that if you shut your mouth, then your effectiveness is going to be much less, and you are not going to get into the place where the manifestation comes. You have to do it loud. He's not used to do it quietly. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. You are worthy of our praises. We thank you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of our praises. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the new creation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Thank you, Lord, for our faith that can move mountains. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Praise you, Lord. Praise Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. God bless you and see you next week. Amen.